Thank you, Larry. Let's turn our Bibles to the Gospel of John again, the portion that we looked at before. John chapter 9 and chapter 10. I want to focus on chapter 10 tonight. The story in chapter 9 of the blind man who was healed. He's been blind from birth. For days, he's not here. He says he couldn't hear too much this morning, Jim. I don't know. Is this any better? Can you hear me better? Or was it too far away or whatever? In chapter 9, as we looked at the story of the blind man, and the Lord Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And I think it's a key verse there to the whole chapter, that he was in the world, he was there, his ministry there with the people, his 3 years of ministry in healing diseases, in sight to the blind, and casting out demons and so on was part of his ministry. And I am the light of the world. That's what he spake to the blind man. And we can certainly be thankful that he is the light of the world. Though he's in heaven, there seated at the right hand of the Father, he is the light, the only light of the world. I think it's interesting that in chapter 10, there is so in line with what had happened in chapter 9. The Lord Jesus declaring himself as the door of the sheep, as the good shepherd, the one who gives his life for the sheep. And it goes together there in chapter 9 as the Lord Jesus depicts himself as the true shepherd. The Jewish people are under the domination of the religious hierarchy of the Jewish government and the elders of Israel and the Pharisees and so on. They were under that rule, and they were the ones that set the laws and so on, according to the Jewish traditions so these were the things that this man was under in the synagogue and so on. Now the Lord Jesus declares to him that he is the true shepherd, and it's not the false shepherds that he was under their authority and so on, but the Lord Jesus declares himself as the true shepherd of the sheep. And I'm going to read a few verses in chapter 10, in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So we have this parable that the Lord Jesus spake to them, and concerning the sheep, depicting them as sheep. And I think this is one of the greatest parables that the Lord Jesus has given to us. We can learn so much about sheep, and it's a very down-to-earth story, especially at the times then how sheep was so prevalent. Shepherds, the work of the shepherd and caring for the sheep and knowing the sheep and so on was so prevalent in those days, as well as in parts there in Israel as well today. But he tells us the parable, he that entereth in not by the door of the sheepfold. If we can picture a sheepfold that's enclosed and has a door to it, and the shepherd that brings their sheep in at night into the sheepfold and is there at night, and the porter watches, and he watches over the fold and so on. And but there's thieves and robbers to try to get in another way rather than through the door. And the thieves and robbers is a picture of the past, Israel's past, the religious things of the past that Israel is under, Judaism, and so on. There were nothing but thieves and robbers, depicting as coming in another way into the sheepfold rather than through the door. And that's why the Lord Jesus declares himself as the door of the sheepfold. He's the only way. And one of the, we see concerning this young man who was healed, the parents were afraid that they were going to be put out of the synagogue. And that was part of the thieves and robbers thinking, that their traditions and so on of the Jewish people, that if you were caught having anything to do with this man who declares himself as the Son of God, that they would be put out of the synagogue. Now, that's verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he'd be put out of the synagogue. And so that was a real thing that would happen. So it's part of that coming in some other way. And you know, there's so many different ways today that people are caught up in thinking that they're in the sheepfold, but they've been deceived because they've only gotten in through or they think they're in, but they're not. They're just deceiving themselves, and they're being deceived by thieves and robbers that seek to take away and to destroy the things of God. There's no other way into the sheepfold but through the door of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the world is filled with thieves and robbers that seek to try to get people convinced that they're going to heaven by another way, but they're deceived. They've been led astray by those that know not the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3, to him the porter, verse 2, but he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The shepherd enters through the door. He's real. He's one who is known. He's a true shepherd. He's not false. He's not out to rob or to steal. But he's a true, honest shepherd. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly he who is the shepherd who enters into the door. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And Matt mentioned in his prayer concerning that we might be sheep that would know his voice, hear his voice, and know him. And we can hear his voice through his word, can't we? We don't hear an audible voice, a loud voice, in that we don't hear great things, lights come on, or great things happening, thundering and lightnings and earthquakes and so on. But we just simply hear his voice through his word. Just simply reading his word and spending time in his word, can we hear his voice. It's the still small voice that we is spoken of in Scripture. Through his word, through the working of the Spirit of God, can we hear his voice. He tells us in his word that he's the Logos, the living word. He's the word. He's the written word in John chapter 1. And we want to hear his voice, his word. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I think we touched on that last time, in calling his own sheep by name. He knows our names. He knows who we are. He knows all about us, doesn't he? He knows the very thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows our names. And our names are written in the palm of his hands. The book of life, our names are written in the book of life, and the moment we're saved, our names are written in the true Lamb's book of life, and we belong to him. So he knows all about us, and he leads them out. He knows all about the sheep. He knows of that one that would want to wander, or that one that needed extra care, extra watch. Perhaps certain feeding grounds that would be needed for one. And he would care for his own sheep. And he leads them out. He's a leader, and they follow, isn't he? He leads. And they follow. So it is with us. The Lord Jesus Christ is our leader, isn't he? He's our shepherd. And we're to follow. But sometimes we want to get ahead of him. And we don't listen to his leading and his guiding. And we want to guide and lead ourselves rather than letting the Lord lead and direct. You see this in man Diotrephes, who desired to have preeminence, and I believe it's 2 John, in the gathering. He desired to have the preeminence. He wanted to be the kingpin as such in the gathering. And we need to be careful and allow the Lord to lead us and to be our leader, to be our shepherd, to be our head, to be the one whom we're to follow. We're to be good followers of Him. He'll never lead us astray, will He? He'll never lead us astray into rough pastures or pastures where there's no feeding. He leads us to green pastures, places of good feeding. If we obey Him and follow Him, He'll lead us. He knows what we need. He knows what our needs are. And He knows how to lead, doesn't He? And He knows where to lead us. And sometimes in our lives we don't know really what the Lord wants for us. And sometimes we may struggle with that as to what the Lord would have. But we're first of all to follow the shepherd, to be followers, and to let Him do the leading and not get ahead of Him, but to be willing to follow. Not easy just to be a follower sometimes. Sometimes we like to be more forceful or more, want to seek our own way and to seek answers quick and put things in the microwave, and I stand there and I'm watching the time go down and down and down, like, hurry up, you know. And we want things instantly, don't we? We want them quick. But when the Lord leads, we're to be conscious of His time and of Him. Sometimes we're going through difficulties and just as sheep perhaps would be maybe some sickness or something that the shepherd would have to care more for. And you know, there are sheep that need real physical care, and we need to be praying for them of the assembly, and that our heart would go out to them, and we have a love and a concern for them, and uphold them before the throne of grace. To our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one who knows our each and every need. We need to be followers. We need to be good followers of Him. We were to know His voice, as we had looked at. I was thinking of knowing His voice. You know, I can identify certain ones just by their voice, can't we? We can tell who it is just by their voice. When they open their mouth and speak, you can tell who it is. So it is with the Lord Jesus, that He always leads us to green pastures, and He leads us by His voice. And we need to hear His voice, to be following Him and to hear His voice. I'm going to begin at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And the great I ams of the Word of God. And when we see the I ams in Scripture, the Lord Jesus is very often He's faced with a problem of man. This blind man, he was healed. He had received his sight. And that's a human problem. And we see here the problem of not having a shepherd, not having a true shepherd. And the Lord Jesus presents himself as a true shepherd to Israel. As the door, I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Who was it that came before? And if you go back into Israel's history and so on, and then in the times of the Lord Jesus, the last year maybe or so, or before that, especially in the last year, but even before, when he was born, 30-some years, or about 30 years maybe before that, somewhere in there, the thieves and robbers, those that have the message of a false prophet and not of a true prophet, they gave false teaching to people. And as a result, he says, all that came before me were thieves and robbers. And how clear it is that people, those in religious authority, led people astray and not to the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected him. They rejected him and rejected his message. But the thieves and the robbers were the ones that destroyed. That was all that came before him. And the Pharisaical teaching, the Sadducees, any of these false teachers were leading sheep astray. They were not true shepherds. They did not know the true voice of the shepherd, and they didn't follow a true shepherd, in which the Lord Jesus is picturing himself to them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The door of salvation, isn't he? I am the door. No other door can you enter through in order to be saved and enter into the sheepfold, but it's through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way. And the only way we could be saved is to enter in through that door. Shall go in and out and find pasture. So he presents to them that the only way to know the true shepherd is to go through the door, through him, and receive him as Savior, to be saved, and then to go in and out and find pasture. Religious world religion says, go in and out and find pasture. The emphasis is on that, not on being saved, not on recognizing that they're a sinner and they need a Savior, and accept the only door to heaven, the only door to the true sheepfold is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the only way that we can enter into the sheepfold. And that's where it all starts, doesn't it? And then we go in and out and find pasture. And we find, man can find the answer through the sheepfold, through the Lord Jesus Christ. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The thief is certainly out for himself, isn't he? He's only looking out for himself to see what he can get. So he steals, he kills, he destroys. And that's a picture of the world, isn't it? That's the system of the world, isn't it? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you look at church history, the persecutions that were done back in early church days were done in the name of Christianity. A lot of people suffered by thieves in killing and destroying and so on, under the name of Christian, but just simply out to steal and to get what they wanted. To get their own name popular and so on. The Crusades and I think of the martyrs that were committed against in the name of Christianity. They were simply thieves and robbers to destroy. The Lord Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I think this is one of the greatest verses in the New Testament. They're all certainly great. But I am come to have life, the Lord Jesus said, and that you might have it more abundantly. There's been a great number of books that's been written on the abundant life. You can pick up any number that you want. A number of authors that have written a book on the abundant life. How can I live the abundant life? How can I know the abundant life? And it certainly is something that as the Lord Jesus speaks here in the light of this portion, is something that this blind man certainly could enter into, couldn't he? He received his sight. He had spiritual blindness. He received the spiritual light of God in his heart. And how he must have rejoiced. It's hard to imagine how he expressed himself in being able to see, to be able to see around him and everything. What an abundant life it must have given to this blind man. Not just spiritual life, but abundant, and how it must have drawn his heart to the Lord and wanting to know more. And just, I'm sure I could just see him just clinging to him and just wanting to know more. And abundantly. And the Lord says that's the kind of life that he wants to give to us. And I have to confess that I know little of the abundant life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The abundance of his life. Just being able to be so close to him and so to sense and to give him the right place in our life as we are. And to sense that closeness to him and to know that he is completely in control is far beyond what I can fully comprehend. We sing the song, "I surrender all, I surrender all to him, my blessed Savior, I surrender all." I'm not sure just how to really sing that song. Am I telling the truth? Am I really saying I surrender all? I really do. Or are we just surrendering a certain amount? Are we holding back for ourselves? I think when we think of the abundant life, we can't help but think of John chapter 15. And I'd just like to go to that. And a very familiar portion, another one of the I am. And to me, when we think of the abundant life, we have to realize that we have been, our position is in Christ, and that we're just like the branch into the vine, that we're part of that vine, and we're all the sustenance for the branches comes through the vine, through the roots, and comes up through the vine and to the branches and to the leaves and so on, and to the fruit. And to me, when we think of the abundant life, we can't help but think of what fruit there is in our lives. Let's look at verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now there's, you know, the guy who wrote concerning the abundant life, his emphasis was on, I think it was Watchman Nee, but I'm not sure, it may not have been, the fact of self, of crucifying self to the cross, so that, you know, it's Christ, it's no longer I, but Christ. And it's getting rid of self and so on. But to me, that's not what the scripture says. That it's Christ. It's his. He's done it all. And it's not us saying, you know, I crucify all of self. Because we need to, some of the authors would say it's a once in a time experience. Well, to me, I see in Scripture that it's a daily commitment to God. It's not a once and for all commitment, a one thing, but it's a daily experience. It's a day by day experience to know His abundance. And If we want to bear much fruit, we need to abide in Him, to abide in the vine. We're the branches. He's the vine. He has the sustenance. And we're to abide in the vine and will bring forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. That's the key, isn't it? Without him, we can do nothing. You'll never know real fruit for God's glory in our life unless we get to know him. Without him, we can do nothing. It's nothing of our own. It's all of him. It's all of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done it all. And there's much more that could be said. I think also that goes along with the abundant life is John's other epistles there that he wrote. In 1 John chapter 1, in our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father, forgiveness and propitiation, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all these things enter in to the abundant life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is so much. I'm come to give life and to give it more abundantly. More than any. Far more than any. And it reaches out far greater than any. And it'll, just as the blind man could see a tremendous work in his life, so it's the same that we ought to experience day by day in his word. Oh, how I fall so short of him. But we just need to pray and trust the Lord that we can apply his word to our life. It's easy to speak words, but do we really live it out for the Lord and desire to see him bear fruit in our lives? For without him, we can do nothing. Lord, we thank you for your word and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for the fact that he's the great I am, the greatest of all. And we thank you for what you desire to do in our lives. First of all, we thank you for saving us. We come to the door, the true door, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only door, and receive him, we have life. We thank you for that, Lord. And we just pray that we might desire to live for you and to please you, Lord, we pray. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.